Welcome to the Meet Me at the Mountain podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Rogers, and as always, thank you for meeting me at the mountain. This is season two, where we are looking at mountains of emotions that we face or we go through in life. Today's episode, we will be discussing the topic of forgiveness, and especially tuning in on those emotions that surround the topic of forgiveness. Before we get into our topic today, please take the opportunity to follow and subscribe to and download not only this podcast, but also check out our master feed at the Scattered Abroad Network. And there you'll find all the podcasts from the network as they're loaded up daily with new content. Please download them and even give them a rating. That's certainly helpful to us and the network. And if something has helped you or encouraged you in your studies or your walk with God, please reach out to us and let us know how they have helped. Now, let's trek up this mountain of forgiveness together. There are several Old Testament pictures given of the forgiveness that God offers to mankind. Psalm 103 and verse 12 tells us, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." What a beautiful picture. As far as the east is from the west. In Isaiah 38 and verse 17, you have King Hezekiah, who says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in thy love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind your back." What a beautiful picture. God having removed our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, and as King Hezekiah puts it, "You have thrown all of my sins behind your back." These each give us the picture of God's forgiveness as a whole and as being complete and without any recourse against us once we have met those conditions that God requires of each of us. The New Testament today gives us those conditions to meet. And the wording that's used there helps us to understand more about forgiveness and, that, of course, the need that we have for it. Mark 16, verse 16 simply says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned." Acts 2 and verse 38 tells us, "Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 3 and verse 19 says, "Repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That idea of blotting out, the idea of literally washing out the ink from a piece of papyrus so that it could be used again. Acts 22 and verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." The picture there of washing away one's sins. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." That idea of redemption, this word is explained as the idea of literally buying back a slave from his captivity, allowing for his freedom. And then the Apostle Paul would write in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 and 25 about this idea of redemption, and he'll use another word as well there, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And so he uses the word justified there, justified freely, and also the word again, redemption. And meeting the conditions for forgiveness, such as belief and repentance and baptism or immersion in water for the remission of sins, it's not difficult, but it certainly takes commitment to willingness to be obedient to the commands of Jesus. Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," John 14 and verse 15. But what I really hope to talk about in this lesson was not just the picture of those conditions for forgiveness. Those have to certainly be met, but what are those emotions? Because I think we need to understand too, what is it that we're looking forward to by forgiveness? There's something that affects us, if you will, emotionally speaking. And so let's think about some of those things. One's obeying the gospel, one's being saved from sin, one's having forgiveness of sins. There's certainly emotions that are experienced in that. And I've experienced those emotions having obeyed the gospel, but I've also watched others experience these very same emotions as well. And those phrases, the blotting out of sins, the washing away, redemption, justified, all lead to the following emotional responses. And certainly the first, we might say, would be exactly what you would expect, joy, right? And in our last episode, we talked about joy and rejoicing and so forth, but certainly we have to begin there because you think about the rejoicing that came to the Ethiopian eunuch as the Bible tells us as Philip baptized him in Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and following. Verse 39 says the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Well, of course he did. You can imagine how great of a feeling of emotion that he had just immediately that came upon him, that the joy that was there, knowing my sins were washed away, knowing I've been forgiven of all the wrong that I've ever done. There's no greater feeling than that, than of joy. But there eventually settles in a feeling that goes beyond joy, if you will. And that's the feeling, first of all, of freedom. The feeling of freedom, being freed from the bondage of sin, being freed from being a slave to sin no more. In Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about this. He says, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked. You were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Freed from a life of sin, freed from any offenses that have ever been committed against God. And so we think about freedom. We think of another word, too, that we find in Scripture, and there's a picture of this given in the book of Jeremiah, and that's the word satisfied. The picture that's given by Jeremiah is when Israel had sinned, of course, and they've gone off into captivity. First the northern kingdom by the Assyrians, and then the southern kingdom of Judah by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah records in Jeremiah 50, verse 17 through 21, Israel is a scattered sheep. And that, by the way, that picture that's given there, that's literally kind of our lives, if you will, while we're lost in sin. We're like just scattered sheep. And he says, the lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria hath devoured him, and last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. And therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, and I have punished the king of Assyria, and I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. And in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sins of Judah, they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. And this feeling is not one of selfish pride, but rather in the fact that something that God has provided for man. And for Israel, the statements made there, I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and then he will be fed. God will supply his needs. His soul shall be satisfied, if you will. Why? He says the iniquity, their sins, they're going to be sought after. They're going to be wondered about. They're not going to be found because I will pardon them. And so again, that feeling is not one of selfish pride, but rather in something that God has provided for man because he has placed him in a location where he was and is supposed to be in that relationship with God, in that fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, in a place of salvation, Acts 2 and verse 47, the church, in the very household and family of God where he's loved, cared for, and adored 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And this ultimately leads then to the last one we will discuss in this session. And that's the idea of peace, the emotion of peace. Jesus has said to his apostles in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And of course, he is preparing his apostles for going out and preaching the gospel. And so Jesus is affording the apostles peace while they go out boldly proclaiming the word of God in a hostile world that killed him, but now is also made available to us by that which was preached by them. Peter preached in the household of Cornelius later. He says this, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Acts 10, verse 34. He continues, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Now notice that connection between the peace that God was providing first for the apostles as they went out preaching the gospel, but also notice the connection between the peace that was made available in the gospel of Christ. And the household of Cornelius is then baptized by the very command of Jesus and would begin to experience that very thing, that peace afforded by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the idea of that inner peace, knowing God has forgiven me, knowing that I am his, knowing that he cares for me, 1 Peter 5, 7, knowing and having that assurance of eternal life by those things that are written in Scripture, 1 John 5 and verse 13, freedom, satisfaction, and peace are all feelings of emotions that are experienced by the salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that you've experienced these emotions as well. But if not, consider your soul's future and even your emotional well-being now in the present. And if you have any questions or comments, please reach out to us at san@msop.org. And if we can help you in any way, we certainly will do our very best. Thank you for meeting me at the mountain. May God bless you in your daily trek with him over the mountain of life, and may we ever encourage one another in the Lord.